Like to talk about the five pillars of Islam, and these are the core framework of worship and practice for every believing Muslim. The first pillar of Islam is what we refer to in Arabic as the Shahada, and that is the testimony of faith. This is what a person says and believes in to become a Muslim, and it is the statement, I bear witness that there is no God that's worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the servant and messenger of God. This is a Muslim's motto that we live by. The first half of the statement defines for us our purpose in life. Everything I do for God. Everything I do out of love and gratitude and thankfulness to Allah. I do it to please Him and to earn His reward and to protect myself from His wrath and His anger and His punishment in this life and in the hereafter. This is the intention. How do we do what God wants? How do we worship God and please Him? We need to follow Allah's guidance that He sent through the prophets and messengers. And the messenger that He has sent to us, the last and final messenger, is Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So his life, his sayings, his actions, what we refer to in Arabic as his sunnah, is the guidance and the path that we choose to follow to please Allah and to be from those who are worshiping Him in the way that He wants. So this is the first pillar of Islam, and it is the declaration of faith or the testimony of faith. We believe it in our heart, we say it with our tongue, and we live in accordance with it as best we can as a covenant between us and God until the time that we die and the time that we will meet Him. The second pillar of Islam is what we refer to in Arabic as Salah. And this is the prayers. There are five daily prayers that every Muslim, male or female, who is an adult, must do. And these prayers are a connection and link between us and God. Once we believe in Allah and we want to commit to worshiping Him and living in a way that's pleasing to Him, then we must establish the prayers in our life, because this is our opportunity to pray to God, to ask Him for guidance, to ask Him for forgiveness, to repent to Him, to ask Him for all the good things and the blessings that we want in this life, and more importantly, in the hereafter. The prayer is also a physical prayer in which we bow and we prostrate and we stand humbly before God, and we submit ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually to Allah. We pray in a congregation many times, so it strengthens the brotherhood between brothers and sisters, and we pray all in the same way, in the same language, facing all in the same direction towards Mecca, and this is something which unifies Muslims all over the world. Many will say, praying five times a day seems like too much. How is it even possible that I will be able to do that in my life? I pray once a year, I pray once a month, once a week. But how can I pray daily and five times a day? We will say it is possible and it is necessary. Just like our body needs to be nourished, so too our soul and our spirit needs to be nourished. And prayer is a nourishment for the soul. Prayer is a chance for us to remember our purpose in life, to stop all the hustle and bustle, all the work and the preoccupations with family and money and school and this and that, to stop all of that and just to focus on God and to renew our faith and to renew our determination to remain committed to God. Prayer should necessarily have a number of good spiritual and physical effects on a person. We find that prayer is something that should make us more God-conscious and more remembrant of Allah. If we remember Allah, then we will be less likely to commit sins. If we know that we have just stood before God an hour ago in prayer, and we will stand before Him again in another 2 or 3 hours, then it's not possible for a true believer to go out and commit sins. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The prayer prevents the person from committing the evil and wicked actions. A believer is not someone who stood before God humbly and begging God for guidance and then goes and commits crimes. So every person should be their own policeman, should be refraining from committing any sins and any wrong against their fellow man, and they should be constantly striving to do good and to fulfill their obligations to God and to others. The prayer is something that is extremely important, and some people will say that it's too much of a time commitment. But the reality is that prayer takes 5 minutes or 10 minutes of your time, and those five daily prayers will end up taking less than an hour out of 24 hours. So it is a small sacrifice and commitment to make when we enjoy the blessings of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We believe that Allah deserves much more, and this is only a small sacrifice that we make for His sake. And Allah doesn't benefit from the prayers that we perform, nor will He be harmed when we don't perform those prayers. But rather, the prayers are for our own benefit, and the prayers will be to our own detriment when we don't perform them and we are negligent in performing them. We believe that in our prayers, we pray directly to Allah. There is no intermediary, even though there will be what we refer to as an imam who will lead the prayer. We don't believe that he's holier than anyone else or righteous more than anyone else, but rather he is the one that has more knowledge of the Quran and the religion of Islam, and he leads the prayers. But all are equal before God. One is only better than someone else by the piety which is in their heart. And the Prophet ﷺ said, piety is here, which means nobody can see and know how much piety another person has. And Allah will judge us by our piety and our good intentions and the good actions that we have done. So the first pillar of Islam is the Shahada, the testimony of faith. The second pillar of Islam is the prayer. The third pillar of Islam is referred to in Arabic as Zakah. And zakah is an almsgiving or a charity that the wealthy give to the poor on an annual basis. After we have established our connection with Allah, we now need to establish our connection with our fellow man. The word zakah in Arabic is an interesting word. It has a couple of root meanings. One of them is to cause something to grow and increase. Another one is to purify. So let's look at the religious significance behind these linguistic meanings. When we talk about purification, we believe that giving this charity is a purification for our wealth. If we earn the wealth in a way in which we wronged others, for example, then it's important that we purify our wealth. It also is a purification for the heart and soul, so that the one who is wealthy doesn't feel arrogant and proud. They know that this was a gift from Allah that He's given to them, and He commands them to give a portion of that gift to others who don't have as much. It's important that they feel compassion and mercy to those that are less fortunate, and that they are willing to be generous with them and to help them in their time of needs. It's a purification of the heart and soul for the needy person, who may feel some jealousy, some hatred, some animosity towards the one who has more, and they feel angry and upset. Why does that person have more and I have less? When they see that their brother is willing to give them, they remember that this is the gift that Allah has given to whomever He pleases, but their brothers and sisters did not forget about them and are willing to support them and help them. Now, the zakah is not like a tax. When we think about tax, we are all eager to minimize the amount of tax we have to pay. We will go to lawyers and accountants, and we will find every way to pay the least amount of taxes possible, and we will find every legal loophole to reduce the amount we have to pay. But when it comes to zakah, the believer gives it willingly, gives it and they love to give it. They are ready to round up and to give more, not to round down and to give less. How much do we need to give in zakah? It's a fraction compared to any tax system in the world. We give 2.5% on our wealth. There are certain other types of wealth where different portions would be given, such as agriculture or livestock and so on. But when it comes to our money and our property, then we would give 2.5% of the amount we own if what we own for an entire year is above a certain threshold, and that is the value of 85 grams of gold. So whatever the value of that amount is in your locality at that current time, then if you have above that amount, you would be from those who is eligible and required to pay this charity to the needy. The charity is given to certain categories of people, from those who are less fortunate and in need, and it can be given by the person directly to them, or it can be given through an organization or an institution if one exists in your locality. This is a very important action because Muslims believe that giving charity also brings blessings. As we mentioned, one of the meanings of the word zakah is that it causes something to grow or increase. A person will say, when I give charity, I've reduced the amount of money I have. How does it cause something to grow and increase? The reality is we believe that there are blessings, and blessings can cause a little to go a long way. If Allah blesses your wealth, you can do more with it than someone else. Someone who's not blessed in their wealth may be afflicted with calamities that cause them to have financial losses. A person may be missing out on opportunities that could have brought them more financial prosperity. So when a person is generous and gives, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said their wealth will not be decreased. And in actuality, it will be increased because Allah will bless them and will give them more in this life, and more importantly, will give them more in the hereafter. Number four, the fourth pillar of Islam is fasting the month of Ramadan. The holy month of Ramadan is the ninth month in the Islamic lunar calendar, and that will come at a different time of year because the lunar calendar doesn't align to the solar calendar exactly. There is about 11 days difference each year. During this month, we believe it's the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. So it's a very spiritual time and a special month for us in which we connect with the Book of Allah and we connect with our worship of Allah. It's a 1 month spiritual training ground in which the Muslim will exert themselves in their worship of God and they will take their character to a new level. So during this month, we refrain from eating, we refrain from drinking, and we refrain from sexual relations from dawn until sunset each day. And this develops in the person a level of self-control, discipline, patience, willpower, toughness and resilience. These are all benefits that you get out of fasting. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, talked about other benefits as well. He said, Allah is not in need of the one who gives up his food and drink, but doesn't give up speaking badly and acting upon those bad words. So those who are not changing their character, they are not changing their behavior, their fasting is almost obsolete. The goal of fasting is not to starve yourself. The goal of fasting is not to lose weight. The goal of fasting is to improve yourself as a human being and to change your character. And they found through modern studies that one of the leading factors that will lead to a person having a stable life and a more successful life is that that person has more willpower and self-control. So the Islamic system ingrains in us through our commitment to daily prayers on time, through our commitment to giving charity to those who are less fortunate, even though we feel we don't owe them anything and they will not benefit us in any way when we give them the charity because they are not in a position of power and authority. And by fasting the month of Ramadan, we are developing our willpower and our self-control and our patience and our perseverance. The month of Ramadan is a month in which people will increase in their prayers, increase in their charity, increase in their acts of worship, because it is a spiritual time in which Allah has made it easier for people to worship Him and to get close to Him. It's a time that true believers long for and look forward to, and it's not something that they are discouraged by. Many tell me, how will I be able to fast? I cannot even go a couple hours without having a snack. You are telling me I'm not going to eat from sunrise until sunset. It's very difficult. Well, the reality is, if a person is psychologically and spiritually prepared for the fasting, then it becomes very easy for them. And there are many people who enjoy and love fasting, and they do it regularly throughout the entire year, voluntarily, and not just during the month of Ramadan. And those who fast can testify to the countless health benefits and physical benefits that come with this month-long fast. Number five, the fifth pillar of Islam, is what we refer to in Arabic as the Hajj. And the Hajj is a pilgrimage. It's something that a Muslim should do once in their lifetime. And it is something that is incumbent upon every male and female Muslim who is financially and physically capable of doing so. As we mentioned with these other pillars, if someone, for example, is poor, they don't have to pay zakah. If someone has health issues and they are not physically able to fast, they don't have to fast. Similarly, if someone is not capable of making the pilgrimage, they would be exempted from having to do so, because Allah is kind and He does not ask us to do more than we are capable of doing. The pilgrimage is a once-in-a-lifetime experience in which a Muslim reconnects with all of their brothers and sisters in humanity. You find people from every country in the world, from every race, from every language, from every ethnicity, gathering together in one of the largest gatherings on the face of the earth annually. And you will be there with 3 or 4 million people, and you feel that these are your brothers and sisters. When we go to the pilgrimage, we go with very simple garments. The man will wear one white cloth wrapped over his shoulders and one white cloth wrapped around his waist. You cannot tell the difference between the rich and the poor. You cannot tell the difference between the leader and the subject. You cannot tell the difference between a teacher and a student. Why? Because all are equal in the eyes of Allah. As we mentioned, the only thing that makes a person better than another is the piety which is in their heart and the good actions and deeds that they do during their lifetime. So this is a reminder to humble ourselves and to remember to be simple and not to be arrogant and not to be proud and not to be overly attached to the worldly life. The pilgrimage takes 5 or 6 days. In it, we follow in the footsteps of Prophet Abraham, Prophet Muhammad, and many other prophets and messengers, peace be upon them all. We will go to Mecca and we will go to some of the surrounding areas doing rituals that testify to the oneness of God and to our commitment to Him. The pilgrimage also reminds us of the Day of Judgment, because the Day of Judgment is a time when all people will be gathered together and they will stand out on an open plain before God and they will be judged and held accountable for their deeds. And there is a time where we all stand out in the open during the pilgrimage and you can see countless people all begging Allah for guidance, for forgiveness, for mercy, and remembering that there is a time when we will be brought back to Him and we will be held accountable for all that we have done in this life. These are the pillars of Islam: the Shahada, or the testimony of faith, the Salah, or the 5 daily prayers, the Zakah, or the annual charity or almsgiving done by the wealthy to the poor, Ramadan, fasting, the month of Ramadan, and the Hajj, or the pilgrimage once in a lifetime for those who are capable of doing so. This is a very brief overview about Islam. For those that believe in these pillars of faith and are ready to accept these pillars of practice, then they can and they should become a Muslim. And I would like to take this opportunity to invite every honest, sincere seeker of truth to consider the message that I have just shared with you, and to know that we will be accountable when we have heard the truth, and that Allah will hold us accountable for our eyes, our ears, and our minds. Did we use these tools and these gifts to determine the truth? And when we found the truth and were convinced of it, did we accept it and did we follow it? You may have additional questions. You may want additional information. Please visit the website that will be available below in the comments. And please, you can send in your questions. You can also live chat if you would like more information. We will also come with further videos in the future that we will explain further on these topics and other topics so you can have a better understanding about Islam. Again, I would like to invite all those who are interested in Islam to become Muslim and to accept Allah and to follow the way that Allah wants for your success in this life and more importantly in the hereafter. Thank you for listening to me. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.